Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I want us to all remember what the scripture teaches.
Dr. Kathy Cook on Focus on the Family Minute.
Because it ought to be the guide that we turn to, right? And God teaches us in Romans and in James that in the struggle, we grow up. We know that when we walk through the valleys, don't sit down and count the blades of grass per square inch in the valley. The scripture says, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley, so we're going to walk through the valley, we get to the mountaintop on the other side. And in that experience, which will be a bit of a struggle, a step forward, a step back, two steps forward, one step back, we develop our character and our faith. We endure, we develop our hope. When I ask audiences, how many of you have benefited from the struggles that God has allowed you to experience, almost every hand goes up.
Sure.
How many of you have a better character? How many of you have a deeper faith in the God of the Bible because you had to rely on Him in a difficult time?
Hear more from Dr. Cook at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
At Good Neighbors Electric, they're more than just electricians. They're your neighbors. Whether it's a small repair or a big project, from home inspections and panel upgrades to full electrical rebuilds, their licensed pros show up on time and do the job right. Good Neighbors Electric, locally owned, family operated, and proud to serve our community with honesty, skill, and a smile. Good Neighbors Electric, call 805-610-5530 or visit goodneighborselectric.com. Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, The Rest of the Story. In the language of the Choctaw, my home state's name is two words meaning red people. Okala, red. Homa, people. Oklahoma. And that's where William Penn Adair was born a century ago. A youngster with enough white blood to make his honesty questionable with the Cherokees, with enough Cherokee blood to become known as that incorrigible Indian boy. Bill's proud parents had named him William Penn Adair in honor of a prominent Cherokee leader. At 7, Bill's name was officially entered on the authenticated rolls of the Cherokee Nation as number 2340. With ethnic credentials such as these and a daddy who was among the most successful and influential men in the territory, one might have expected Bill himself to become a leader of the Cherokee Indian community. But young Bill was incorrigible. His daddy's tireless and apparently futile effort to make something of his son, well, that is the rest of the story. You see, Bill's father was a shrewd, ambitious, driving businessman. And one way or another, he was determined that his son was going to follow in his footsteps. If there were a drawback to Bill's personality, his daddy considered it the frivolous tendency that he had inherited from his mother. At 6, in keeping with his proud heritage, Bill was sent to a school where most of the students were Indians. Bill was restless indoors, especially impatient with a rigid routine. Most of the time was spent in recreation, racing with his Cherokee classmates on foot or on horseback. Soon it was obvious to Bill's father a stricter environment was in order. Harrell International Institute in Muskogee was really a girls' boarding school, but Bill's dad knew the school president, got him enrolled there. But at Harrell, in the company of those young ladies, Bill said he felt like Custer was surrounded by all those Indians. And one day, Bill's daddy received a letter from the school president saying, "I regret to inform you, your son's not doing well in school. I suggest you remove him." Next fall, Bill found himself in another school, this time in Tahlequah. And there the comments of his teachers included restless and wild, unkempt and careless. When things didn't work out there, it was on to Haskell College at Vinita, a private boarding academy roughly equivalent to junior high school. This is Bill's fourth school. At any rate, from there Bill went to Skerritt Collegiate Institute in Neosho, Missouri. And after Bill was expelled from Skerritt, his frustrated daddy determined that the boy would be tamed, delivered him into the disciplined atmosphere of Kemper Military School. Entering at sophomore year high school level, Bill would spend 2 years at Kemper, one in the fourth grade and one in the guardhouse. Having accumulated 150 demerits, Bill not only quit Kemper, but he abandoned school forever. Now, had Wild Bill taken after his father, the ambitious, no-nonsense businessman, probably he would have succeeded in the academic world, but instead he became known as that incorrigible Indian boy for most of the first half of his life. And in a sense, he was still that incorrigible Indian boy for the last half of his life also. You see, he had inherited his mother's irrepressible sense of humor. And so from the very beginning, he just could not bring himself to take life seriously. This youngster, named after a prominent Cherokee leader, officially registered in the Cherokee Nation log as number 2340, the boy who had bounced through six schools before applying his carefree attitude to a one-of-a-kind career, was William Penn Adair Rogers. You mean Will Rogers? I mean Will Rogers. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. And I'm going to say a little bit about a story before we get back. This does go into what's wrong with government. But we did post a story a few days ago. Man who threatened Slo County officials seeks insanity defense. And for those that don't remember, back in the days of Adam Hill, there were a number of people that Adam Hill was affiliated with who would troll anyone that was negative about Adam Hill. They would go after them. They would demean them. They would put untrue things out about them and cause quite a bit of damage. So in the middle of all this, there was this man named David Platek. And it wasn't even clear that David Platek was hired by Adam Hill and three or four other people running for office at the time to do some technical things for them. So he's getting paid by these campaigns. Meanwhile, there was an activist named Kevin Rice. He's now living in another county, who was very critical of Adam Hill and very critical of the allegations that Adam Hill was involved in corruption. Cal Coast News found evidence of corruption. We wrote about it. We provided our evidence to law enforcement. The county building was raided. It was a pretty big deal. And in the end, Adam Hill was taking bribes. He was a very corrupt politician. So meanwhile, David Platek realizes that Kevin Rice is going after Adam for his behavior. So he impersonates him. He creates an identical Facebook page. It's got a period somewhere in the name. And it's got Kevin Rice's picture. And then it goes on to the Tribune. And it has what looks like Kevin Rice admitting that, you know, I support pedophiles. You know, I've had some times that I've molested children. I'm not saying it correctly. But literally admitting to molesting children. Within an instant, Aaron Oaks, a local, another local person that supported Adam Hill and attacked those that didn't support Adam Hill, went on and put out there also, oh, look at Kevin Rice has now admitted that he's sexually molesting children. And Aaron Oaks was someone that was tied to allegations. For example, after I found the corruption of Adam Hill, Aaron Oaks made false claims that I was a felon and that I had been in a mental health hospital. He probably wrote 50 times on social media that I had been in a mental health hospital or was diagnosed with a bunch of mental health diseases. It was all fabricated. Later in court, he claimed it was all satire. Doesn't that sound like Clive Pinder? But in the end, Dan Dowd did go after Playtech. We've talked about this in the past. And then Playtech, was what had happened was they did tie him to Adam Hill. They did realize he was working for them. And then COVID came. And then Adam Hill committed suicide. And they decided not to go after the case because some of the witnesses were no longer alive. And they actually ended up letting Playtech go without charges. Regardless, it was in 2020 that this happened. And he claimed, though, Playtech felt like the fact of the matter was he no longer had all these jobs. He no longer had people hiring him to work on their campaign. He felt like Dan Dow had ruined his life. And not that what ruined his life was lying about someone on social media and impersonating somebody in a criminal behavior. So then he decided that he was going to kill Dan Dow and blow up his children's school and go after his family. It became known. He has been arrested. He has been in jail since then. And the case was supposed to go to court in February. I think it's still listed as going to court in February. But most recently, Platic came out and said he's not claiming that he's currently mentally ill and can't be tried. He's claiming he was mentally ill at the time he did what he did. And as such, he should be going into a mental health hospital. This was just applied for recently. Were you a little surprised when he pled mentally ill?
I think that, actually, I kind of thought it was a sort of a cheap shot. His activity was orchestrated and quite frightening. So I think it's a wild or a red herring kind of thing where he's hoping that he gets that because he's claiming he's not sick now, but he was sick then, and I can't buy it.
And some of these guys that claim mental illness, they actually spend more time in jail or in a mental health hospital. Hinckley or no, there's been a couple that have spent more time in a hospital than they would have probably been
if they'd gone just to jail.
If they'd gone just to jail, they end up having a worse time with it. And one of the things I want people to know, though, Aaron Oakes was a young man that put out stuff. Remember, he had websites dedicated to me. Mm-hmm. He played around with photos. Every time I mentioned him in an article, and he was someone that was also tied to Adam Hill, he comes out with an attack with me on social media, puts it on Nextdoor. One of the things he recently reported was that I used to go through his trash and I wrote articles about what I found in his trash. Aaron, I have several dumpster divers. I would never ask them to go through your trash. When we go through trashes, for example, when I was told that there was corruption with Kelly Gearhart, the dumpster diver went through the trash. It ended up having a lot to do with his conviction. The FBI picked up the records, and it had a lot to do with showing up corruption. Mm-hmm. Again, with Belcher and Pettit, again, through the trash, law enforcement has gone after them. And I've even been told if they go after more, I might have to testify. Aaron, there's no reason I would ever, ever go through your trash. And again, I'm just telling you, Aaron skews the truth or just out. He primarily twists things and makes things up. Mm. But again, you saw all the times he wrote about me.
Oh, he wrote about me too.
And yeah. Was it true?
No.
So there is, this is a person that has hassled anyone that went after Adam Hill. Now, it sometimes even claims that he's the one that found the wrongdoing by Adam Hill. Was he the person protecting Adam Hill from law enforcement, or was he trying to find the wrongdoing?
He was an advocate for Adam Hill. all the things he was promoting out Adam Hill. So, when you are Monday morning quarterbacking and the bad guys really found out, he's trying to make himself look good if he's now saying he opposed anything that Adam Hill did. So
they were so tied. Adam, I saw one politician shared an email where Adam Hill threatened him, if you don't do this, Aaron Oaks is going to come out with an article about your daughter. There was another one where Aaron Oaks wrote this long article about me. It was probably 5,000 words. And within a minute, Adam Hill had posted on his, or maybe it was 2 minutes, he posted on his social media Facebook page, "I just read this. I am fascinated." A 500-word dissertation. He didn't have enough time to read it. Aaron Oaks posted it, and then Adam Hill posted it. There was no time. They were clearly working together, and Aaron was helping promote him. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Karen, I'm calling in about the Aaron Oaks that you just, or Ox that you just mentioned. He had a new posting in social media, and I read it today. And I just wanted to make a comment and get any input from you or Julie of what you think about this. But he was discussing that he never had a restraining order on him and making that as a fact. And it's very clear in the court docket he had a temporary restraining order granted, or you got one against him on July or so of 2017. And then it also became very disturbing to me because there's an unsigned order that the judge in the case issued but didn't execute when they dismissed the case. But in that order, it appears like Aaron is not taking heed to what the judge was saying, because he was telling Aaron things such as he needs to consider the negative consequences of his actions, and that the court was giving him fair warning that if he continues his inappropriate actions, he'll be back before them. But he also urged them that he should step away and step back. And this is all related to, you, Karen Veeley, and the restraining order. And it seems like he's just resumed this activity. And I wanted to know what you and Julie thought.
And I don't think he's completely resumed it. He used to be obsessed. I would parked outside my home, following my grandchildren around the park. I had 10 years of massive obsession. It's not where it used to be, but if he's mentioned, he attacks. Julie, is he still after you to some degree?
I have not looked for it. So it could be, but I don't look for it anymore. I used to care. I don't care anymore because just none of it made sense. But still,
it was cruel. It was absolutely.
And your caller makes a really good point in that here we are 9 years from the temporary restraining order, and he still has to talk about you.
And he is still obsessed.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
I don't look for it. Hi. You brought up Aaron Oaks. And boy, for a long time, I have been kind of keeping an eye on this guy. And in my opinion, he's pretty mentally unstable. I mean, he was clearly working for Adam Hill, a friend of Adam Hill's, to try to belittle you as well as other people. And here we go all the way down the line. And wasn't he very well connected to the man we're talking about right now, who threatened to kill the DA and blow up his kid's school and what have you?
I don't know if he was connected, but as soon as Plattick put something out, Aaron Oaks jumped on it and repeated it. And that is kind of the same thing that he did with Adam Hill. Adam Hill would make a claim about me. Aaron Oaks would write a big story claiming it was true. And then Adam Hill would say, "See, here's proof from Aaron Oaks that this is true." It did go on for years and years. I mean, years. That's why I went after a restraining order, because it just went on for so long. But the judge said I should have filed it earlier. Most of the real bad behavior had been months earlier. Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
I'd like to ask Julie a question. Julie?
Yes?
Your name has been suggested by somebody as a potential replacement for Norma Moy as the CEO of Main Street. Would you be interested in that?
Oh, that is such a kind offer. I live in Los Osos, and I don't know that I have the ties to Paso. I do work in Paso, but what a very kind thought. And there's no replacing Norma.
Then, and what a big hole she has left.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you know somebody who has those abilities, I help start the United Way in San Luis Obispo County, but I'm 88 years old. I'm too old to do that kind of a job.
She was older than you. Wasn't Norma older than you, though?
I think she was.
She was 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
But I'm healthier. I was healthier. I always have been.
What a nice thing to say.
I surprised. Even John Hammond, when I was applying for the Planning Commission, and I was, that was back when I was like 76 years old. And I said, he said, well, are you physically in good? I'm so damn good. I'm in perfect shape. I said, I got a heart, a perfect heart and everything. In fact, at 76, my daughter, I have never had heart trouble. And of course, the reason is I'm an attorney. And attorneys have no heart. And he kind of laughs and so forth. But he couldn't believe I was 76. Well, now I'm 12 years older than that, turning 88 on Sunday.
But, happy birthday.
I just can't do it. So if you know somebody, all right, we'll keep it in.
We got to take a break from our sponsor. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, keep up the good work, guys.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. The major averages ending higher and recouping some of the previous session's big losses following news that President Trump said that he had reached a framework of a Greenland deal with NATO that would take away the need for new tariffs on Europe. All of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were higher, with tech and healthcare leading the charge. And the Magnificent Seven stocks were mostly higher after plunging on Tuesday, and chip stocks also gained. The price of gold continues to rise and topping $4,800 an ounce for the first time. Shares of Netflix fell 2.5%. The streaming giant's fourth quarter earnings and revenue beat estimates, but Wall Street was looking for a stronger forecast. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and Amgen. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Procter & Gamble, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow up 589 points. The Nasdaq higher by 270. S&P 500 up 79. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive Commercial knows truckers can expect the unexpected when driving, but a little heads up like this would still be nice.
Breaker, breaker, truck driver. I'm the local meteorologist. Just letting you know I got the days mixed up and a little bit of hail is coming. Over. Actually, it's a hail storm. My bad. Over.
Be ready for the unexpected with primary liability limits up to $2 million on our specialty heavy truck coverage. Get a quote at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Covered subject to terms and limits.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Hi, this is Sunny from the Floral Parlor right next to Bridge Sportsman in downtown Paso Robles. When you're grabbing your guns, grab some roses. Because friends don't let friends buy grocery store flowers, please support my small local flower shop. Swing by the Floral Parlor and say hello and receive a free mini bouquet. Yes, a free bouquet. We're a full-service florist serving and delivering beautiful fresh flowers on the Central Coast. Check out our website, thefloralparlor.com. We're on Spring Street across from the Boot Barn. See you soon.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your guest on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon.
What's that?
Can you
hear me? I can hear you.
Okay. I'm your guest on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And I'm laughing because I accidentally unplugged my earphones and I kept thinking, can anybody hear me? It's still working. I've just unplugged it.
Yeah.
And today I have Julie Tacker on the show. We're going over government misspending. And one of the agencies, I think, in the last 15, 20 years with some of the most trouble has been the Integrated Waste Management Authority. It was also created in the 90s with Ray Baring pushing it. He was an attorney with county council at the time. And then after that, he joined Adamski, Murawski, and Green, which picked up most of these groups. And it again went from not spending a whole lot of money to being a very busy group. They were supposed to just do requirements. There were some new requirements in government for trash hauling companies, and they were supposed to do and give them advice. And then it grew into an agency that did things that were not in its charter and just started spending more and more money. And then they got caught. Like, for example, they would go to Europe and buy clothes for their wives on the government credit card. Their brother's truck needed a new piece of metal on the bottom, and they used the government credit card. One of them was paying her phone bill at home with the government credit card. In the end, the DA went after some of the wrongdoing. They changed management, and then it's just been one allegation of wrongdoing after another. Can you bring us up to some of the more current wrongdoing?
Well, actually, it was a story you published about 2 years ago now in January. You had a resignation letter that, there we are. Karen published a resignation letter associated with a staff member there at the Integrated Waste Management Authority who left because there had been overpayments to a woman who went out on maternity leave on disability. The agency continued to pay her regular wages while she was gone, and the lady was also accepting disability.
And so, she said she didn't notice it was direct deposit.
Nobody. somehow, the woman that resigned, unfortunately, she resigned. She noticed it. She knew it was wrong. She brought it to the attention of council and the board and the manager, and a repayment plan was put in place, and there is still some question whether or not the funds were actually recovered. Then the manager who was processing that payroll while that woman was gone left just this last June or July.
And let's talk about that. You have to understand. So they have an outside bookkeeping company doing their bookkeeping for them, and the bookkeeper suddenly resigned. And let me read this to you. This was in her resignation. At the advice of my attorney and my insurance company, that I discontinue services with the IWMA completely. These matters because this could trigger an audit, and she didn't want to be tied to them. There have been allegations over and over and over again when they look at the audits that there is wrongdoing in the audits. So their bookkeeper said, I can't even be involved with you.
So there's, I'm not exactly sure what her the advice was, other than what this woman says, that she needed to leave on advice of counsel in her insurance company. But that just happened. This resignation occurred just this past December. There was a bad audit that came before the board just prior, a month or two prior to her resignation. And it was the numbers that were audited came back bad. The results of the audit were not in the it wasn't a clean audit, let's just say. And she came after that, but the practices, the issues that were identified continued, and we're likely to see another bad audit. And then something in an opinion piece that Karen has put up for me today speaks to the new manager. The latest manager was hired in July. He's got a 3-year contract, $195,000 to run the single purpose agency. There are 7 employees now, that all positions are filled. And this manager was up for his 6-month review. And I saw that the agenda was coming and did some public records requests, including the man's payroll. And there were mistakes. There was overages and a repayment plan. And we had just seen that with the maternity leave, overages and a repayment plan. And that's alarming. It's the practice continues, or appears to continue. So I did bring that to the attention of the board. Most of them did not know that this had occurred. They had a board meeting a week ago today. And one of the items on their agenda was a performance review and his request for a merit increase.
So he's only been there for how many months?
6 months. 6 months. So his request for a merit increase included, he wanted a 5% increase. He wanted it retroactive to December 1st. And then he also wanted $4,000 for a down payment on a lease of a car, with a $400 a month car payment being paid for by the IWMA ratepayers. That'd be you and me, Karen. And fortunately, after bringing up some other anomalies in their bookkeeping that I had discovered in my research, including travel expenses for interviews with potential employees.
Assistants, not even, no, this is not looking for a new director. When somebody is looking for a new director, they will do that sometime. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking for an assistant, you don't usually... pay them and look all over the country and pay people to come here and interview you, and then offer to pay for their move from out of county.
Yeah, moving expenses, travel expenses were covered just to get this vacant position from the lady that went on maternity leave and all of that. She left the job back in February last year. So the position had been open for quite some time. And this new manager felt it necessary to bring somebody from out of state. I have some problems with the experience with that person, and knowing California is the most regulated in waste management, and it seems very unlikely that this person would know California law associated with waste management, and now you're working in California. We the ratepayers paid $3,750 for her move, and we paid some of that was also related to a hotel, a rental car, and an airplane ticket, both ways, round trip ticket to New Mexico. So those expenses, I brought those up for the board to look at. And while it may be petty, it is a pet peeve of mine that government does not buy lunch for its staff. In November, they had a little strategic planning meeting, and they rented the Meadow Park pavilion, or whatever that room is called out there. It was $300 to rent the room, and then he brought in lunch from one of the local restaurants, and that was another $100 for seven people to have lunch.
And this is my pet peeve, is when you have government that spends wildly. When they, under the previous manager, Bill Worrell, it was over the top. They bought massively expensive dishes for their office. I'm going to give you my biggest pet peeve. First of all, he bought an electric car, and they did that. And this guy now wants a new electric car charger. But they bought a toilet that had a bidet. It was a $10,000 toilet for a government agency with three people in there. They had three employees and a $10,000 toilet. I found that just over the top.
Well, you know, they've sold that building, and I believe that toilet stayed there. There was talk of moving it.
I did use it once.
Oh, you did.
When I was investigating the numbers, I went in there and I was interviewing them, and I said, "Do you mind if I use the bathroom?"
Want to see a $10,000 toilet?
I wanted to use a $10,000 toilet.
It had
a type of lining that didn't get dirty.
Oh.
It also had the bidet and different features.
A little blow dryer.
It was, but I mean, should a government agency that's paid for by the taxpayers, that used to be part of the county and run very cheaply, they move out of the county, and suddenly they need a $10,000 toilet?
Yeah. Well, and what sent me on a little bit of a research rabbit hole was their expenditures. So this is interesting. They did not have their October or November expenditures in their January meeting in the board packet. So I went to the county and I asked if they could give them to me. And they gave me a spreadsheet. I have to say that the county auditor controller, Jim Hamilton, is very approachable. And he got me a spreadsheet of all the expenses that that occurred over those 2 months, October and November of 2025. But there were three items that were left blank without description. So I asked to see the actual invoices, to see what those blank descriptions, what they really described, right? What the expenses really were. And one of them was a dues for belonging to another CSDA, what is that? California Community Services District Association. And another was some KSBY. They do have some commercials on KSBY, so there was a cost for that. But the one that really rung my bell was for $750 to interview a man from Atlanta, Georgia. I Googled that man. Google provided me a front page news story where the waste management company he worked for at that time, it was in 2022, paid a settlement for sexual harassment.
So they literally flew him in.
Yes.
In this day and age, I want to bring something else out. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, generally, you don't fly somebody in for a lower level position, not the top position. You interview them on Skype.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. I have a friend right now that's looking at a job, and all his interviews have been online.
Yeah.
They have not been, drive to the Bay Area and talk to us.
Yeah.
This is someone that works in the technology field.
But why wouldn't you simply Google the person first? Then you would do a Zoom or a Skype interview if you're still interested. But just that particular person should have been discarded right at the top, right at the beginning.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Welcome to Sound Off.
Yeah, I got a wrong number. I apologize.
For some reason, I'm not... I wonder what this is. For some reason, we can't hear you. Do you want to hang up and call back?
Could you hear it? I could hear him. But he didn't. It sounded like it was the wrong number.
I'm not hearing him again.
That's not...
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block office. As local accountants retire, many taxpayers are left wondering where to turn. H&R Block is ready when you need a trusted expert. With experienced tax professionals, your local H&R Block delivers reliable help year after year, no matter how the tax laws change. You'll get knowledgeable service, clear pricing, and flexible options to file. So if your old tax preparer is stepping away, step confidently into tax season with H&R Block. Trusted expertise that's here to stay. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton,
almost
behind the donut shop, just off Main Street.
That was my headset. I'll tell them.
They service
back.
Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
It's going well.
Talking about the twist.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There's no paywall. Also go to Cal Coast News and read Julie's Will Financial Troubles at the Slo County Waste Agency Ever End? Great article. You need to read it. Julie, what would you like to see? What would you the best thing to do to get some of these, the IWMA, every time they hire someone new, they say they're cleaning it up, and usually about 6 months later, there's a financial issue again, over and over and over again. What would you like to see happen?
Well, unfortunately, you know, I was hopeful. If you look back at Cal Coast News 6 months ago, I wrote an article just similar to this, an opinion piece, where I was hopeful that changing management would make a difference. But now this particular manager has taken some of the same missteps. This actually was discussed at the board meeting. Unfortunately, that meeting was not videotaped. Something happened. So you won't be able to catch it in the replay. But the board, they are looking for a new bookkeeping person. What I thought is that maybe if they had someone in-house, like they did when that young woman that resigned, that first article you wrote, that position was in-house. They no longer have a financial person that works inside. They have someone who, you know, processes the accounts payable and accounts receivable, but they don't have someone that's really overseeing the whole picture bookkeeping and payroll. These managers are handling the payroll on their own, which is, you know, they say second set of eyes. I think at the IWMA, they need three sets of eyes. And it's not just your eyes. You have to know what you're looking at. and that is not has not been happening. So they are going to go out for a request for proposal to some sort of bookkeeping company or CPA firm. But I wonder if it would be more cost effective to actually have a financial officer in that office. You'll see, you know, the cities all have their own financial accounting department, the CSDs. Most of them do have someone on staff that's handling the finances. So it's very rare that I've seen that you have government accounting experience in a private firm. And some of these private firms, and the lady that just resigned in December, they don't have that experience. And there are different kinds of accounting rules associated with government funds. So you'd want someone who has government accounting experience, and they just haven't had it. And being a small agency, it is hard to have those two sets of eyes that are knowledgeable. And we've seen embezzlement in small government, and then just really bad bookkeeping. But unfortunately, and I don't like to throw that word around, embezzlement, but when it favors someone or two, then it looks to be, it could definitely, it's misappropriation, no doubt.
And before, this was going back almost 4 years, no, about 7 years ago, Lynn Compton said, this agency should be brought back with the county. It won't cost as much. Jimmy Paulding claimed, no, it's cheaper if we have an outside agency. And he argued to bring it back. Lynn Compton, Debbie Arnold, and John Pashon said, no more. There's been too much wrongdoing, too much bad actors, too much self-dealing. Jimmy Paulding fought to bring it back. He said, we need the IWMA being its own agency. This is important. He got himself put on the board. And then right after that, he had conflicts of interest. Remind the public what happened with Jimmy Paulding on the board.
So while he did recuse himself, his wife is the executive director of EcoSlow. And she applied for a $10,000 grant, $5,000 of which was supposed to go directly to paying for the staff at EcoSlow. Another $2,000 here, $1,500 there was going to rent. And remember, that was to buy dishes. That grant was to buy dishes to make break rooms sustainable for small businesses in San Luis.
And that's not their mission statement.
No.
Their mission statement was to help follow the laws of the county, not to buy disposable or special silverware for small businesses being chosen by a nonprofit to get the money.
Well,
and most of the money went to the nonprofit.
Yes.
Talk about the amount that went.
So $5,000 of the $10,000 is going to staff costs at the EcoSlow. So while Jimmy did recuse himself and left the room and wasn't part of making the decision, I believe his very presence on the board influenced others. There were a few board members who were like, this is dumb. This $10,000 to pay for $3,000 worth of dishes. That was dumb. And there were a few board members that called that out, but it passed anyway. And so, so Jimmy wasn't in the room at the time, but very there shortly after he resigned from the IWMA, and now serving on there is someone who I do have hope in. And she is a CPA, and she is the county board supervisor, Heather Moreno. She's from District 5. So
has she done a good job on the board?
She's been only at, I think, three of their board meetings that I've been to. And she's doing a good job. She's definitely got a knowledgeable eye for finance. So I am hopeful that she may be involved in picking the bookkeeper that they choose, reviewing the audits and being much more hands-on there. She's a busy lady. She just took the chairmanship of LAFCO, which we talked about a little bit earlier about you know, the dissolution of San Simeon. But ultimately, and you kind of asked me, Karen, what's my thought? I think if it doesn't get cleaned up soon, that dissolution for the IWMA should be considered.
In this next coming election, currently Jimmy has two votes. He has, not always, actually, Jimmy Paulding and Bruce Gibson vote pretty well hand in hand. Don Ortiz Legg is a little bit more pro-development, pro-housing. Jimmy and Bruce will only vote usually for low-cost only housing. They're not into building more housing for the community. And there is a gentleman running against him, Adam Verdin. They just had a debate. And Jimmy was saying he was for low-cost housing. And Adam Verdin was pointing out, we have a shortage of doctors in the area. Some of the hospitals were promoting some gated communities, and Jimmy wasn't going to vote for them unless they put low-cost housing in. Mm-hmm. They were going to do 22 units in Templeton, which they got approval for. Mm-hmm. But Don Ortiz Lake said, we need this. The hospital wants this for to bring in doctors. They don't want to move in and buy a used home. Mm-hmm. They want to come into a gated community near the hospital. And this was one of the ideas, was we could get some high-level medical help here with this plan. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy voted no. Mm-hmm. Bruce and Jimmy both voted no, but they were outdone because Dawn does vote both sides of the fence.
Yeah, she's the wild card, I think, on the board.
But with Jimmy leaving... Oh. Not leaving, with Jimmy up for grabs, you have a chance between Jimmy and Adam Verdin, and then the other seat held by Bruce Gibson, who votes hand-in-hand with Jimmy, you've got two people running. You've got Bruce Gibson's pick, D'Antona, and then you have Michael Woody. He is... many of the people pushing him right now are because he's opposed to the battery storage and the wind energy. Mm-hmm. But he is a Harvard-educated engineer, and I think he has a master's in public policy, lifelong resident of the county. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting because it could change things.
One thing that I did learn about Michael, because Jim D'Antona is pushing that he is opposed to offshore oil, different issue than the wind. Offshore oil, Jim D'Antona opposes. Michael Aaron Woody also opposes offshore oil. What? No one is really supportive of offshore oil of our shore.
But it's performative. Okay, let me tell you, this is what people say every time. We want staff to write a what do you call those things? It's just saying we're opposed to offshore oil. There was a measure passed in this county. There's already two offshore oil platforms got permitted off of Napomo. The voters put in a thing, it was a measure, mm-hmm. that we cannot have infrastructure for offshore oil. Nobody can build here. We have that. But every election, they want staff to spend hundreds of hours, write this out, let's have meetings and promote this. Mm. It's not needed. It's performative. It's for the election. And that was brought up by, it comes up every election.
Right. Well, both candidates don't want it, and most of the people who are voting don't want it. It's a moot issue. It's not a real issue to discuss. The wind and the battery are in. Those are the things that are concerning for the District 2, and I live there, and it's concerning to me, but I didn't feel like I was represented because I felt like, you know, Bruce was too weaselly on that topic. So,
and I've heard that from others. And Julie, I thank you so much. You're a wealth of knowledge. Thank you very much for coming on the show, and I hope to have you back on again soon.
Thanks for having me.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.